Exchange 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Top officials in NATO say it is the biggest violation of its airspace since the war in Ukraine began. Poland, a key NATO ally, shooting down Russian drones breaching its airspace, calling some of the drones a direct threat. Russia's defense ministry saying just now it did not target Poland. Emergency personnel in Qatar continue digging through the rubble of an Israeli attack on Hamas's political leaders in Doha, a move that has drawn widespread condemnation from several countries. Fed Governor Lisa Cook remains on the job despite President Trump's attempts to fire her.
The judge has temporarily blocked President Trump from firing Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook. The judge says Cook can keep doing her job as her lawsuit plays out in court, adding Trump has not given a legally permissible cause for her removal.
ABC's Perry Russum. An excerpt of Kamala Harris's new book, just published by The Atlantic, says in retrospect she thinks she should have fought harder to let President Biden make the decision on running for re-election. This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding hunters that archery and crossbow deer hunting season opens this weekend. According to a press release, the two seasons will run through January 4th, except in counties and subunits that have extended their seasons through January 31st. DNR officials say the early archery and crossbow seasons are a great opportunity for hunters to harvest antlerless deer before additional hunting pressure changes their patterns. Bonus authorizations are still available in a number of counties. Governor Tony Evers and the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin have submitted their final proposal for the state's Broadband Equity Access and Deployment Program. According to a press release, the final proposal was submitted to the National Telecommunications and Information Administration last week. The program seeks to make affordable and reliable high-speed internet available to all homes and businesses in the state. If the final proposal is approved, construction on new broadband infrastructure could begin in 2026. University of Minnesota Duluth union workers have officially gone on strike along with union workers from other UM campuses. Union officials say they authorized the strike because the University of Minnesota failed to meet the needs of their 1,400 union workers across the system. The union workers include critical positions like food service, sanitation, and maintenance. Union leaders also say they urged members to accept the last deal offered by the university system, but 82% of their members voted against it. The city of Shell Lake is working to determine where a recently donated sculpture should be placed amid debate among residents. At their August meeting, the Plan Commission heard input from community members on their recommendation to place the sculpture of a woman paddleboarding with her dog in Memorial Park, with some arguing it didn't belong in a park created for veterans and others arguing the park is used by the general public. The commission unanimously voted to recommend accepting the sculpture and creating a committee to decide where to place it. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers in prime time. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Last Sunday's game between the Packers and Lions drew 24 million viewers, the most watched Week 1 game on CBS in 28 years. Tomorrow night, they host the Washington Commanders. Green Bay defensive end Micah Parsons has had some of his best games against Washington during his time with the Cowboys.
I don't know, just the strategy, coaching, understand who you're playing against. They're just an explosive team, starting with that quarterback, and it just means a lot more. You gotta get to them.
The Packers could be without right tackle Zach Tom and left guard Aaron Banks, both dealing with injuries. There'll be game time decisions. And the team signing Christian Watson to a one-year extension worth over $13 million, even though he's still rehabbing a torn ACL. College football. The Badgers will play at Alabama for the first time ever this Saturday. Game time 11 a.m. Danny O'Neill likely to start at quarterback again. Women's volleyball. The Badgers beating the UWM Panthers last night. 3-0 in straight sets. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some dense fog expected early, then expect mostly cloudy skies with highs right around 70. For tonight, mostly cloudy skies with lows in the lower 50s, a good-looking September day on Thursday with partly sunny skies and highs in the mid-70s. It's 58 at our studios.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Mr. Pat Kreitlow joins us from Lake Wissota.
Everything that I know about high culture, everything I know about opera, for example, comes from Bugs Bunny cartoon. The kids are missing out these days. They got Bluey and all that.
Well, now it's all like real.
We had coyotes falling off of cliffs. Come on.
Exactly. And now it's all this educational crap.
We really have just become the two old men rocking on the porch talking about days gone by.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
James Santel joining me. Donald Trump just flat out threatening Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook.
A lot of people apparently, Maggie, in high places in government engaging in mortgage fraud, including Adam Schiff and Letitia James, and now Commissioner Cook as well. The Federal Reserve is created independent of politics, preventing exactly this kind of thing from happening. This is the instability that causes economic crisis.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Todd Allbaugh.
Wisconsin has a new candidate for governor, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. He'll join the program at 3:35, and we'll kick around politics with Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olsen. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome back and good morning. It is 8:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Wednesday morning, September 10th. Parker Olson is producing this shindig down in Madison Studio A2. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is standing by as well. So is Earl Ingram. We'll be talking about issues in Milwaukee and his What's Going On podcast. We'll have a guest from Clean Wisconsin later this hour talking about data centers. They are sold as job creators. They are sold as the thing that's going to change the internet with artificial intelligence or AI. But they also suck up a lot of groundwater in a community. And so we'll talk about concerns regarding that. And then we'll wrap up the hour at 8:52 with a conversation with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, who's working his way to La Crosse, where he's making an appearance today after entering the race for Wisconsin governor. So before we get to all that, let's see, we've got in the mailbag here, we talked about all the many events going on around Wisconsin this weekend, and you need to get to an event. It's going to be a gorgeous weekend. There is no reason to be shut in this weekend. There's got to be some place to go. I listed several, but Tom in Hartford said, don't forget Road America Fall Vintage. Noted. We talked about this being the anniversary of the Swanson TV dinner. Jana in Waukesha says, I loved the turkey and gravy dinner in the 90s even. And Fresh Prince, which also had its anniversary today, is an institution as far as TV goes. And Michael put in a comment from earlier. We were talking about casseroles and how I finally made casserole with tater tots for the first time yesterday. And Michael saying, I used cheddar cheese and chopped celery. I'm sorry, cheddar cheese soup and chopped celery in my tater tot casserole, and I add crumbled bacon.
Oh,
look at this. Now, Brittany and Parker, they're intrigued by all this.
If you utter the words bacon, my ears perk up.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
And tater tot.
You lost me at celery. I do not like celery. I don't know what it is about it, but I just don't. Bacon. I mean, come on. You had me a pick. We had a staff meeting. I don't know who it was, and I don't want to out this person. She seems like a perfectly fine person. It's not Brittany Merlot, but there is somebody at Civic Media who, in a staff call yesterday, said, I don't like the smell of bacon.
Yeah.
And you get these little emojis that you can put, like thumbs up or applauding hands. I don't know if we could see her through all the thumbs down emojis that people metaphorically want to put on there. People saying, what kind of a monster are you? You're not required to love bacon. We're just not sure what's the matter
to
that
say
you don't love bacon.
To say it's bad is wild.
Yeah. So, look, it takes all of us. That's not just a saying for the end zone, but for the kitchen as well. It takes all of us.
Can Brett Favre get behind bacon?
Brett Favre would call all this divisive. But anyway. All right. So there ends bacon and casserole chatter for today. Let's go to Brittany now with a quick update on the forecast. And, you know, it's not, we haven't returned to summer yet, so don't look for it today, but it is definitely on the way.
It is around the corner. And if we could only have bacon raining from the sky, then people wouldn't be so mad, right?
Yes.
Oh, goodness. It's dreary. It's a little damp out there this morning. We have dense fog up north, a pretty big cloud sitting right on the ground for a lot of the Northwoods right now with a dense fog advisory in effect until 10 a.m. This goes from Ashland to Eau Claire into Hayward, Superior, even Eagle River can barely see this morning. And then we've got spotty showers working through the central parts of the state, from Madison to Wausau, moving in towards the Fox Valley. The only sunshine out there this morning is along Lake Michigan, and that's not going to stay. Temperatures right now, mid-50s to low 60s, and we are looking at scattered showers, light sprinkles continuing very isolated on and off through the eastern half of the state today. More sunshine will try to peek through those clouds farther to the west, and highs today will be in the upper 60s far north to low 70s far south, so still a cooler day today. Fog pushes back in again overnight, and then tomorrow we'll see more spots of sunshine, slightly warmer, low to mid 70s for highs, maybe an 80 degree far south, and then we're all going to start to flirt with 80 degrees for Friday. It'll be partly sunny, a little warmer, a little bit more muggy. Rain could roll in late Friday night into early Saturday morning, and then it leaves us in the summer weather. Humid, I will tell you that. Highs will be in the mid to low 80s both Saturday and Sunday. Places far south could be nearing 90 on Saturday, actually. So a warm one expected, and that holds. Those temperatures do hold as we move into next week, too. So it's not just a short little blast. Summer's here for a little bit, just a little bit.
What a nice little gift you've given us before you start your long weekend. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. You're
leaving us in good hands. Mother Nature's good hands. Have a fun long weekend. We will talk to you next week.
That sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Brittany. And you can always get your local forecast updates throughout the day here on your favorite civic media stations. Let's jump right into Earl Ingram. I'm going to ask him about David Crawley, the county executive there running for governor. But before that, we've got to talk about the police union head down there in Milwaukee and this whole notion of, you know, whether to support the idea of Donald Trump putting troops on the streets of Milwaukee. Earl Ingram from the What's Going On podcast. Earl, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Pat?
I'm good, thank you. It's always a pleasure to talk to you on these Wednesday mornings. And so let's start with your conversations about, you know, Milwaukee police union support for the idea of troops, which is not necessary. I get the impression this isn't like a pro-military thing. It's more of a, we need some kind of resources, we'll take whatever we can get kind of thing. And that doesn't sit well with everybody.
Well, what's happening in the city of Milwaukee and the issue with the police department is that they can't find enough people who want to become police officers. And so there's a shortage of over 200 officers in the city. And I don't have to tell you what kind of a problem that is if you're going to be 200 short in the largest city in the state of Wisconsin. And clearly it is needed. Police officers are needed. There clearly are things that go on in a city like Milwaukee that you need to have law enforcement. And the fact that we're short many officers is becoming a major problem. And, you know, on the one hand, I'm a guy who is not calling for the National Guard. The mayor doesn't want to see the National Guard, the Common Council. The governor doesn't want to see that. But on the other hand, when you're short so many officers, you sometimes, you know, wonder.
Right. And that's what the mayor of Washington, D.C. said with the troops. And Trump was talking about all the arrests and crime going down. And she said, well, yeah, if you gave me 500 more police officers, I could get that as well. It's not, you know, this is not an apples and oranges comparison. It's really an indictment of support for our large cities in this time of, you know, constant austerity and hostility coming from Republicans who control the budget strings.
Well, you just kind of hit the ball out of the park. At the root of it is the fact that Republicans have been controlling what happens, and there are people who are at wits' end, and there are people who who struggle economically in the wealthiest nation on earth, everybody's not prospering. Even though the stock market is booming, that people who are struggling every day to put food on the table. And I don't have to tell you that if the option is me not being able to survive, I'm going to do whatever it takes for me to survive. And you got people who are in that kind of situation.
Mm-hmm. Before we go on to the podcast topics, I did want to ask, the Milwaukee County Executive, David Crawley, will be on the show here just over 30 minutes from now, talking about his entry into the campaign for governor. Is it something that you expected, and what kind of a campaign might we expect from David Crawley?
I clearly expected it. I know the county executive well. I remember the first time he even entered into politics, and I used to always say he was my favorite elected official, even when he was at a fledgling elected official. So I don't put anything past the young man. He is certainly a very bright young man who's got a bright future in politics. You know, governor is a stretch. Considering there's only one black governor in the United States, and there's only been four historically in this nation, it's, you know, anything's possible.
Yeah. Yep. Talking to Earl Ingram, he has the What's Going On podcast, which you can get at civicmedia.us. And you've got a couple of new episodes here. We hinted at one last week and wanted to hear more from you about the whole notion of aging out of foster care. And the kind of thing that, I mean, that's been a thing, of course, as long as there's been foster care, but it continues to be a challenge for young people and for society overall.
As a treatment foster parent myself for the last 22 plus years, I am cognizant of what young people are faced with. And what I don't understand about our nation is children don't get to pick their parents. They don't get to pick their families. And as a society, I think the way we handle young people who, again, through no fault of their own, are born into the conditions and situations that they are, that we basically turn a blind eye to them. I think our nation does a disservice when it does that. And so, you know, we want to bring attention to the fact that there are young people all over this nation who have had a tough go of it. And when we pull the plug on them and say, hey, you're on your own, it's time for you to test your wings, even knowing their backgrounds, I think we set them up to wind up doing some nefarious things. I'm not saying that's the case, but you certainly make it a whole lot easier if survival is the first law of nature. We kind of leave people in bad situations.
Yeah. And then there's one more episode I know that's coming up here. It's entitled Forgetful Minds Need Support. And Diane Beckley Milner is your guest about how Alzheimer's impacts not only the individual, but the whole family.
The Alzheimer's situation, we went in depth with Alzheimer's, and what most people might not know is dementia, and all of those things come under the guise of dementia, and many different issues and people are faced with, and we went deep into it because sometimes you go upstairs and you forget your keys, and you go upstairs and at times that I wonder, well, what did I come up here for? And so we wanted to make it clear that if you're forgetful on certain things, we shouldn't automatically think that you're headed towards dementia or Alzheimer's, but that we should, if you certain things that you see happening to you and your loved ones, you need to stay on top of it.
All right. You can learn all about this from the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast. Head over to civicmedia.us and click on shows. All the episodes are there. Get subscribed to it wherever you listen to your podcast as well. Listen to it on demand. It's very good listening and great information that we're getting from Earl. Appreciate your time, Earl, as always. Thanks so much. Hope you have a good day.
You as well.
All right. Again, civicmedia.us is where you go to learn more about that. Now, coming up in our next half hour, we're going to be talking to a guest from Clean, Wisconsin. There are data centers going up in Wisconsin. There are big data centers being proposed around Wisconsin. But at what cost? I mean, there was a recent network news report about how after a Meta data center was built in the state of Georgia, residents around there would turn on their water taps and nothing would come out. We'll talk about that and a live interview with Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley at 8:52, candidate for governor. All ahead, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. There's no better place to catch Brewers baseball than right here. Every pitch, every hit, every home run.
And a fly ball to right center. Malloy is back, and this one is going again for Hoskins.
We've got the action all season long. Turn it up. Brewers baseball lives on your local Civic Media radio station. 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's real news and great conversation, and your home for the Brewers.
Let's go. You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drugged driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. With me today in the studio is Joshua Spiegel. He is with the Wisconsin DNR, and today we're going to be talking about the sounds of elk. Now, I didn't see any elk horn that you brought with you. Are you going to imitate an elk for me?
I don't have my calls, so use your imagination with this.
All right. Well, you're doing a workshop, not necessarily a workshop, but a walking tour of the elk habitat, and I'm assuming this is going to be up near the Cable, Wisconsin area.
Yeah, so it's going to be based out of the Clam Lake area, so working with the Cable Natural History Museum. And the goal behind this, it's actually kind of a long-running field trip, field tour that they've reached out annually. Ties into a unique time of year from the elk front. So, that time of year, elk are extremely vocal. They're few of the deer family members that make, they're the only deer family member that routinely makes a large noise that can be heard from long distances. So, part of our DNR sampling is going out and getting to see, hear these animals and doing our counts. And what we can do at that same time frame is offer this field tour to hopefully get people to hear and see elk at the same time.
Oh, okay. So you're going to be touring out in the woods where the
deer and the elk live.
Yep, where the deer and the elk roam. Yep, that's right. So, very early morning, so activity is best right at daybreak, cool mornings. Obviously, sure. We've got the date set for this already, so we're hoping for a cool morning that really invigorates those animals. But, yep, early morning meeting, I think it's a 6 a.m. meet at the specified location. The Cable Museum of Natural History has all that information.
Oh, okay.
People do have to be physically able. We're going to be walking through the woods a little bit. We can't guarantee that that we're going to see and hear elk right off the side of the highway or sure. roadway, whatever. But in order to get a good view of them, a good hear of them as well, get some good vocalization, we might have to go into the woods a little ways.
Yeah. So what was the project there? Maybe you can let me know how the elk got concentrated up in the Clam Lake area. How did this, was it a program that brought them up there and we're trying to get them adapted to this area? Tell me a little bit of the history about the elk in Clam Lake.
In 1995, UW-Stevens Point was granted permission by the governor to bring in 25 elk from the state of Michigan to start a project to see if they could sustain on the landscape. Okay. And ultimately they did. In the year 2000, the DNR hired an elk biologist and maintained those elk after the completion of the research project in 1999. So kind of threw them out there, said, yep, they'll make it. Here you go. So since about 1999, the DNR has been maintaining those elk on the landscape and getting them to the point of self-sustaining on the landscape.
You also mentioned as part or not part of the field trip, but following the field trip, just a couple days later, the area of Clam Lake is holding a festival. And tell me a little more about that participation.
Yeah, so much like many of our small communities up here in northern Wisconsin, Clam Lake had kind of to reach out to myself and partners like Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation and a lot of other groups with interest to hold a small community event related to the elk, right? This is the origin of the most recent elk reintroduction and kind of that 30-year history going back to 1995.
Yeah.
So a few years back here, the community started putting together this small community. And, a lot of it is small vendors, food. They've got some music.
Sure.
The couple businesses there at the intersection of Highway 77 and MGG, et cetera.
Yeah.
They all got together and they thought, hey, this is a good way for us to bring people to town, but also to promote the elk, which is unique to us here. You know, there's elk in a few places in the state of Wisconsin, but again, this is the origin. So they wanted to start over, say, hey, we are extremely proud of our elk. And so they came up with Elk Fest. I know one of the vendors is doing an antler shed hunt for kids. That's become a really cool item. So we're just hoping to get people in the area. I know there's a lot of fall festivals up here.
Right. Yep.
That's Saturday the 20th, I believe, of September. So people will be coming up, starting to see the color changes, taking those nice fall trips. And we hope that folks will swing out to Elk Fest as well and kind of learn about elk in Wisconsin.
Yeah, very cool. So tell me, because I've been out there a couple of times and I've seen the elk on the shoulders of the road, what are some safety tips, real quick safety tips that you can give besides stay in your car and keep the windows rolled up?
But
you don't want to take pictures.
Right.
But they seem so docile and tame, you know.
Right. Like, we don't have any of the cool signs like they do out in Yellowstone and that, you know, stay in your vehicle. But yeah, that's one of the biggest things. Obviously, they're one of the biggest animals out there. They know that there's very little competition or negative aspects to their environment, so they're comfortable. They stay nice and relacked. They're not going to run off like white-tailed deer do. And just traveling through the area, that's one of the big things. They typically don't run across the road. They walk. So when you're driving, you don't anticipate them to run like a whitetail.
Right.
They might kind of do a light trot, but they hardly ever run. So if you are going to pull over on the side of the road to look at elk, make sure you're well aware of passing vehicles, et cetera. Another good reason to stay in your vehicle. But again, they are wild animals. You know, they might look docile and tame, but especially through the fall months, those bulls are extremely aggressive they want to defend their territory. So you don't really want to press them on that as well.
Yeah.
So best thing is, you know, just stay a safe distance, 100 plus yards away. take as many pictures as you want, enjoy the experience, but no, let's not press the animals. And then right. Be safe on those roadways, especially if you pull over.
Yep, very good. Joshua with the DNR, thank you very much for stopping in and telling us more about elk, and we look forward to seeing you at the field trip.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
You've been listening to The Morning Buzz on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WBZH shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores. Coming up after local news and information, my colleague Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back with more Hayward area information tomorrow morning. It's 8:59.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation Division of Motor Vehicles is reminding residents to check a used vehicle they're planning to buy for potential flood damage. According to a press release, water damage can be difficult to spot and could cause mechanical and electrical issues. Before purchasing the vehicle, residents should check for a damp or musty smell, look for water signs, discoloration, or mud in the engine, and test the functionality of all electrical components. Buyers should also consider having their own mechanic inspect the vehicle. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley has officially announced his candidacy for governor in the 2026 election. Crowley joins Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez in the Democratic primary field weeks after Governor Tony Evers announced he would not be seeking a third term. In his announcement, he said his background and experience in office make him uniquely prepared for the job. If victorious in the first gubernatorial race without an incumbent since 2010, Crowley would be the state's first black governor, while Rodriguez would be the first woman elected. The Wisconsin Beef Council and Gather Wisconsin have introduced their 2025 Prime Rib Trail as part of an effort to showcase restaurants across the state. The 16-restaurant trail includes four locations in the Northwest Wisconsin region, including Chicken Chasers Bar and Grill in Fall Creek, Jake's Supper Club in Menominee, Lehman's Supper Club in Rice Lake, and Pine Creek Pit Stop in Ashland. Residents can also nominate their favorite restaurant for consideration in the 2026 Prime Rib Trail on the Wisconsin Beef Council's website or on social media. Xcel Energy is launching a new initiative to offer free home energy assessments to income-qualified customers. According to a press release, the new initiative is meant to help those customers improve their home energy efficiency and reduce their energy bills. The home energy assessments will be conducted by trained contractors with special equipment designed to detect areas where the air could be escaping the home or gaps in the insulation. Qualified customers can schedule their free home energy assessment on Xcel Energy's website. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Fans of The Office should probably know by now there is a spinoff of the show called The Paper. The show dropped last week and is shot in the same mockumentary style as The Office was. The pilot of the show lacked some of that natural quirkiness that The Office had. There were a few laughs, but I don't see the show going that far without a Steve Carell or Rainn Wilson. If you're interested to see for yourself, check out The Paper on Peacock. The highly awaited Task has dropped on HBO. Series creator and showrunner Brad Inglesby is also the creative force behind the critically acclaimed Mayor from Easttown. Heading up the cast is Mark Ruffalo, who is joined by Tom Pelfrey, Amelia Jones, and nightlight pal Jamie McShane. The show follows a task force led by Ruffalo that is trying to stop a series of home robberies. I watched the pilot, which aired last weekend, and really dug it. Unfortunately, we only get one episode a week from HBO. New episodes drop at 9 p.m. Sunday nights. Definitely worth a look, and if you haven't seen it yet, check out Mayor from Easttown. Town with Kate Winslet. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some dense fog expected early, then expect mostly cloudy skies with highs right around 70. For tonight, mostly cloudy skies with lows in the lower 50s. A good-looking September day on Thursday with partly sunny skies and highs in the mid-70s. It's 58 at our studios.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'm joined by former ambassador and former White House ethics czar, Norm Eisen. We discuss why the Epstein files matter more broadly for government accountability.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Remember, you can sign up for our newsletters, the weekday version with its new newsletter editor, Ellie Bordeaux, who got started today, Oconomowoc native. And of course, the version that I write, more politics based on the weekends. Sign up for those at upnorthnewswi.com and click subscribe at the banner at the top of our homepage. All right, let's turn our attention now to data centers. We're hearing all about artificial intelligence and the need for all of these data centers to hold that and all the other information that we're busy Googling and sending and sharing. And data centers are basically the cloud. The cloud is not something light and fluffy and doesn't take up a lot of space. The cloud is monstrous, and it has a monstrous appetite for things like water to keep things cool. Amy Berrio from Clean Wisconsin is joining us now to talk a bit more about that, not just from the standpoint of Wisconsin projects and proposals, but just the concept around the country where some communities are starting to learn the real cost of these data centers. Amy Berrio, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for joining us in studio down there in Madison from Clean Wisconsin. You can find them at cleanwisconsin.org with plenty of things that you can learn. For example, there's a column here called AI Data Centers and the Artificial Need for Dirty Energy. Amy, the upshot of all of this is basically what? Just letting the public know what all is involved with every time one of these data centers is proposed for Wisconsin?
Yeah, I think things are happening really fast. You know, a couple of years ago, we'd never even thought about AI data centers. And now suddenly in Wisconsin, we're juggling a number of AI data center projects. And the thing to understand is these data centers use a lot of energy. So, we're talking the one that was that is proposed in Port Washington could use as much energy once it's complete as 2 million homes. And I want to apologize. I said on Todd Allball's show, 4 million homes. And if Todd, you're listening, I apologize. I pulled over the wrong piece of information for that. But that number is 2 million homes. And that's...
Oh, wait. So it's only 2 million homes that this thing could power for this one proposed for Port Washington.
For this one project, yeah.
So the correction is noted, but it is still an incredible number, the amount of energy these types of facilities use.
Yeah, and I think people may not understand that. So you're talking about a data center that's on almost 2,000 acres that have been primarily farmland that is going to be converted into a space with a lot of windowless buildings. Those buildings will be full of computer servers because this AI, actions take a lot of work from computers, right? This is not a small number of tasks that are being done. When you ask AI something, that's an enormous task. And so these data centers are being built because, I've heard it compared to an arms race, right? Between the major tech companies, they want to be the big players in the AI space. And so these data centers are coming in and they are a strain on resources. So, more energy than we've ever produced before for one single user. This will be the biggest energy user in the history of the state once it's built. And not only do these data centers use energy, they also use water for cooling. And right now, we don't have a lot of transparency around how much water exactly is going to be pulled from our lakes and our aquifers for these data centers. There's not a lot of transparency about how they're going to operate, what the noise levels are going to be, how many diesel generators are going to be on site that need to be fired up to be used as backup and tested once a month. So there's a lot of baggage, I guess, that comes along with these data centers that the public doesn't always know, you know, really until they're already approved.
So this is, again, something that we talk about clean energy all the time, green energy, you know, a whole new economy. Mm-hmm. And it would be easy to lump data centers into that because, again, it doesn't look like a factory. There isn't a pipe that sludge comes out of, for example. But like you said, when it comes to the amount of water required, the amount of electricity required, is it your view that any community where this is proposed needs to treat this no differently than any other, you know, old school factory that's coming in and using your resources?
Well, I think we need to recognize what the differences are. Again, this is a scale of energy use that we have never seen. You know, having the biggest energy user in the state ever, an energy user that, you know, when I say 2 million homes, we don't have a city in Wisconsin that has 2 million homes. So this will be like a city in Wisconsin that doesn't have any people in it. But it's going to be using that much energy. And the energy utilities, We Energies in this case, you know, want those data centers to come here. They want the profits that go along with building new energy generation to meet those needs because they make a rate of return every time they build something, profit. So we have to recognize that a lot of times we have energy companies like We Energies or like Alliant Energy in the case of a data center that is being proposed in Dane County that are actively luring these data centers here. And what we don't get is a lot of transparency, so we don't understand exactly how much energy is going to be used right away. We don't understand where the water is coming from, how much water is getting used. On the hottest days of the year, how much water is going to be needed to cool that data center when we all need those resources, when our farmers need them, our communities need them. How much of our resources are we going to be sharing with the data centers? And so it's a bit like any other industry that has come to Wisconsin in the past, but then again, it's very, very different because we just haven't encountered anything like this before. We don't know how many new gas plants, you know, We Energies is planning to build to meet the needs of this one data center. But we do know if it does meet those needs with gas plants, the communities where those plants are located will be harmed by air pollution. We know that we'll be pushed further from reaching any kind of climate goals in Wisconsin. So we need to take this seriously, and we need to start demanding real transparency, and we need to start demanding that these data centers come with a plan to meet their needs in a sustainable way. And right now, we're not seeing that.
We're talking to Amy Berrio from Clean Wisconsin about data centers and the amount of resources being needed. And I was looking at a New York Times article from over the summer when Meta, the parent company of Facebook, broke ground on a $750 million data center about 90 minutes east of Atlanta. The neighbors all around that area suddenly noticed there was no water coming out of their taps. And so there was all this potential for jobs, which are primarily in the construction field of building these things right in the first place. And then they're there. And now that water taps are running dry by the neighbors, it reminds me of an issue that we've talked about from a legislative standpoint across rural Wisconsin, so-called high capacity wells. Mm-hmm. Or for these mega farms, you know, they seek high capacity wells to irrigate all these fields. But again, at what price to the neighbor's water supply and to our aquifers overall? And again, you know, it's one thing to have a mega farm, but a mega data center, it appears to be no different in terms of how much water is needed to keep these servers cool.
Well, I mean, we've seen historically, and by historically, I mean in the last several years, that these AI data centers are using a tremendous amount of water for cooling. The data centers that are being proposed in Wisconsin right now, you know, we're getting assurances that they're going to be using a new kind of cooling system that is a closed loop system. So they're going to withdraw some amount of water, but then recycle it to use it over and over again for cooling. But those data centers appear to be more energy intensive than the ones that don't use the closed loop system. And it's important for us to understand that power plants use a lot of water. So if we're going to shift the water use from on site to power plants in the region, we're still, again, providing our water resources to this data center. And so when I talk about transparency, I mean on all levels, like how much water is this data center really using, not just on site, but regionally in Wisconsin? Because one thing I think maybe we don't always think about is we're sitting in the middle of the largest freshwater system in the world, the Great Lakes region. And tech companies know that. We in Wisconsin, we are lucky to have, you know, fresh water, plentiful water, and also a lot of land that's currently being used for agriculture. So we are desirable, I would say.
Oh, gosh, without a doubt. It's something we've talked about for many years that folks in, say, the desert Southwest would love to extend a giant straw, you know, to the Midwest to water their lawns and for drinking.
Yeah.
But instead, we're now seeing the sucking up of our water for something that, again, would not necessarily come to us, that we would not get a direct benefit from. So, Amy, to start to tie a bow on this, the website is cleanwisconsin.org for folks that want to learn more. Do you have other resources or other actions that you hope that people will take when it comes to data centers being proposed?
Well, right now, you know, we're hopeful that soon there's going to be some legislation that's about this transparency that I'm talking about. Because right now there's really nothing. There's no legal avenue or policy avenue for a community to use when a big data center project comes to town if it gets approved by their local lawmakers. So, you know, what we're calling for is transparency. And so when, you know, we have something that's public that people can kind of throw their support behind, you know, we'll be sure to let you know. Right now, it's just about getting out information so people can at least be informed about what data centers are, what they can mean, and why this issue is important.
And I suppose not just for you know, any regular folks, but I would imagine if people are on county boards, town boards, city councils, rather than waiting for some proposal to be dropped in their laps, and now you face the pressure of making a decision, it would be a pretty good idea if elected officials, local elected officials around the state, started to bone up on this right now before, you know, before the first requests come in.
Yeah, they need to start learning about what this means, because once a request comes in, you know, these things move very fast. And communities, you know, small communities that don't normally face this kind of pressure are facing a big time pressure, because we know how much money tech companies have and how powerful they are. And they're just getting more and more powerful. And that's a lot to stand up to. So, yeah, people in local communities should start understanding this issue.
Yeah. And before I let you go, obviously, this is one aspect, one issue that Clean Wisconsin is working on. But I know everything from, the Enbridge Line 5 up north and a host of other projects. The folks at Clean Wisconsin, they're not sitting around bored. There are plenty of projects that y'all are working on right now.
Yeah. You know, the environment, it's a lot. It's a lot to protect. So you mentioned Line 5. We're in the middle of a legal case against the DNR for permits that were issued to build 41 miles of new Line 5 section through some pristine areas of northern Wisconsin. So that's a big focus right now. But we work on everything from water and wetland protection to clean energy to sustainable farming. And if it has to do with the environment, we're on it.
Amy Berryo from Clean Wisconsin, cleanwisconsin.org. Amy, thank you very much. I really appreciate having you on today.
Thank you.
All right. And like I said, Amy has been on with Todd Alba before and is on other shows to keep us updated on all kinds of matters that are happening in terms of protecting our natural resources. Economic development is extremely important in the state, no doubt about that. But it really is a matter of research and transparency and taking that balanced approach so that we're not, essentially eating our own seed corn when it comes to the notion of economic development. We're looking to talk to Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley up next, candidate for governor in 2026 here in the state of Wisconsin. Live from Lake Wasota, across the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Pat Kreitlow. Back in a bit.
Connecting audiences, Empowering Brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
The Buzz of the North is now your home for Milwaukee Brewers baseball.
And he struck him out swinging. Went right back to that sinker and strikes out Iglesias to strand the Mets with the bases loaded.
The Buzz of the North.
Fly ball, right field. It is deep. It is gone! We are tied in the eighth inning on the second homer of the night from Jackson Churio.
Milwaukee Brewer baseball on 96.9 WBZH. The Buzz of the North.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires, a collection of wealthy Americans who share a profound concern about the dangers of concentrated wealth and power in America. Now, the fact is, you may not care how much money another person has, but you likely do care how much power another person has, especially if they're using that power to rig the rules of the economy to make themselves richer and you poorer. You see, there is a point where money is no longer money, it's power. And when rich people use their money to drown out the voices of everyday people, it threatens the safety and security of us all. Patriotic millionaires don't want to live in a country with a few extremely rich people controlling everything, leaving millions of people struggling to just get by. Luckily, we have a solution. Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We've got afternoon baseball coming up here across Civic Media Radio Network. 1 o'clock, the pregame begins for the third and final game of the Brewers series in Arlington against the Texas Rangers. Again, 1 o'clock this afternoon. Then they're off tomorrow for a home series this weekend against the St. Louis Cardinals. Again, tune in across the Civic Media Radio Network this afternoon for a little matinee baseball. Let's turn our attention now to the race for governor and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, who is touring the state now after getting into the race, as he promised he would, for the race to become the next governor of the state of Wisconsin in 2026. And David joins us live now. David, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Pat. Thank you for having me.
Very good. I understand you're on the road today, I think La Crosse, if I heard correctly.
Yes, I am in La Crosse today. I was in Madison yesterday. And so we already started to crisscross around the state to talk about our vision for Wisconsin.
Yeah. Again, for folks who haven't seen it, an excellent campaign launch video talking a bit about your background and why you're running for governor. So that's a 2-minute video rather than a 2-minute answer. Why don't you give me the short version of what you're telling folks about you and why you're deciding to run for governor?
Well, thank you for this opportunity. And one, I think it's important to acknowledge that Governor Evers, he's been able to be the steady, calm strength that we've needed. for the past almost decade, right? He's led us through the pandemic. He's protect our democracies, protect working families from a lot of the harm that has been going on across our country. And so I spent 7 years in the state capitol, so I know exactly how Madison works. I've worked with this state legislature. And for the past 5 years, I have been leading the largest county in the entire state of Wisconsin. I represent 1 million people, about 1/6 of our entire state's population, and also manage a budget of about $1.4 billion. And since 2020, I not only led Milwaukee County through the pandemic, but we've tackled some of the toughest issues, things like public safety, public health, fiscal recovery. We've invested in small businesses. We've created more options of affordable housing. We've made government more accessible. We've cut our carbon emissions in half, all while being able to deliver the largest property tax cut in Milwaukee County's history. And so I know that on day one, that I'll be ready to hit the ground because I'm the only candidate in this race with legislative experience and experience running a government.
We're talking to David Crowley, the Milwaukee County executive and candidate for governor. As you know, there are folks in the race that include the lieutenant governor. There's an industry executive. There's the county executive in Washington County. There are state legislators who think that they might be getting in as well. So you've outlined a lot of your strengths and your background. But of course, one of the shortcomings, if you will, is simply, you know, name recognition. The way Wisconsin is, it's tough for a rural person to get known in Milwaukee or a Milwaukee person to get known in the rest of the state. Getting in the car is one of the most essential things. But tell folks what else you're doing and talking about when you go to rural Wisconsin. I wouldn't count Eau Claire as rural, but you were just in the Chippewa Valley 2 weeks ago, for example, to talk about affordable housing.
Oh, absolutely. And had a chance to join Representative Jody Emerson. And, you know, being able to see some of the great things that they're doing in Eau Claire was just extremely wonderful. But it let me know that the issues that are facing Eau Claire, that are facing La Crosse, that are facing many of our communities, you know, are the same issues that we're facing in Milwaukee County. You know, the issues that we'll be focusing on, we've been able to balance our budget. We've been able to expand our opioid treatment and prevention options. And I want folks to know that these aren't Milwaukee issues. These aren't Democratic issues or Republican issues. These are Wisconsin issues. And so we're going to cut through the mustard. We want folks to know that we're not going to pay attention, you know, to the division and to the distractions that people are going to throw in this race. We're going to speak directly to the issues facing every community. And I want them to know that I'm going to show up for them. And I've already been, and that I've already been doing that. You know, I led the charge across the state to build a coalition to make sure that every community of every size got their share back from Madison so they can invest in things that matter most to them. Things like police and fire, being able to invest in transportation and housing. And I want folks to know I'm going to continue to fight for them as the next governor of Wisconsin. We need a governor who understands the issues at heart, but also a governor who listens.
There are so many issues that we can talk about, and of course, our time is limited. So while affordable housing may not be at the top of a lot of lists, it's one that you have experience with in Milwaukee County. You saw what was going on in the Chippewa Valley. We just spoke in our last hour about actually fencing off city parks in La Crosse because of the issue of unsheltered folks. This is a challenge everywhere. What's been your own experience with the issue and how you might be a part of the solution?
Well, one, you know, in order to fix these issues, it's important that those who have been negatively impacted by the problems in our community, that they're leading and bringing their voice to the table to be a part of the solution. There isn't a one size fits all to the issues facing every community across this state. And when it comes down to struggling, I know what that's like. I was evicted 3 times by the time I graduated high school. I've seen my mother struggle to, you know, pay for the bills, put food on the table. And here in Milwaukee County, you know, we have done great work with our housing first model. We have been recognized 3 out of the past 5 years by the United States HUD that we've had the lowest unsheltered homeless count per capita than any other community our size across this entire country. And that's because we're putting our money where our mouth is, making sure that we're making investments up front to make sure that we save a lot more money down the line. And these are issues that's going to help every community across this state, whether we're talking about affordability. But we also need to talk about attainable housing while we talk about affordable housing. And attainable housing is housing that is available for everyone of all income levels. We know that the housing stock isn't quite there for many communities. And as Milwaukee County, we're pretty much fully built out, being one of the fully incorporated communities in the entire country. But that doesn't mean that we can't work and create creative solutions for every community across the state.
We are talking to David Crowley. He's the county executive and a candidate for governor. And if you want to hear more from him, he's going to be joining Todd Alba at 3:35 this afternoon as well. He's got a busy day ahead of him. David, thank you so much for your time. Yes. We appreciate it greatly. Safe travels.
Thank you.
You bet. That's David Crowley again, Milwaukee County executive, joining us from La Crosse, where, again, crossing the state, getting his campaign kicked off. We'll talk more about it tomorrow here as well on these mornings with Pat Wright, low powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you back here bright and early Thursday morning, 6 a.m. here up north.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Inflation at the wholesale level easing a bit last month. Producer prices down 2.6% year to year. Tomorrow we find out about prices at the consumer level, which is what a lot of economists use to gauge inflation. NATO scrambling jets after Russia violated Russian airspace. The drones were shot down. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio.
It comes less than a week after Russian President Vladimir Putin traveled to China, showing unity with leaders of China and North Korea. Since that meeting, Russia has staged its largest aerial attack on Ukraine since the war began.
Russia now claiming it did not deliberately target Poland when it sent the drones there. Demonstrators fanning out across France. They have called for a full day of strikes and protests over proposals to cut government spending. Police in Queens, New York are looking for the man suspected of murdering a husband and wife in their 70s, terrorizing them for 5 hours before tying the husband to a pole and setting him on fire. The wife also burned. This is ABC News.